Hello and welcome to Three Wide No Cover. There's been a late scratching at the barriers out. Mick Wall in, F. Von Hoff. I just happened to be casing the joint outside and they've brought me onto the panel. Boys, how are we doing? We've got the usual stable here, Julian Valance and SD Simon Marshall. How are you doing, boys?
Well, I'm great, mate. Great to have you on board and just loved the little super underneath when it came to your name. Wally will be absolutely just spitting chips wherever he's watching that, seeing that under there. But shout out to Wally. Hopefully everything is all well.
He's enjoying the freshen up. It's what has been a long couple of weeks, that is for sure. But claiming three off the bench. Felix, very good. You got the irons nice and short. You ready for the ride?
All ready to go. Before we get into the meet, we've got a big stakes day coming up, but we will jump into what happened on Tuesday, Melbourne Cup Day. Pretty tough day for the punters. How did you boys fare?
It was tricky. Had something small on the winner in the cup, but it only chopped me out on the race. Obviously needed the second horse to win the race, but it goes to show, we spoke about it in the preview before, that these international trained horses just have a great advantage. Well, they just seem to be better than ours. I think it was plus 55% going into the meeting. Profit on your turnover since 2017. You're back to every international trained horse in Australia. Well, they run 1, 2, 3. They run the trifecta. So too good. Joseph O'Brien gets his second Melbourne Cup and Tiger Moth at his fifth ever start, SD, run second. It was a very good rating Melbourne Cup too, I will say. They've gone pretty good.
He was very brave in defeat, was Tiger Moth, that was for sure. It was a brave ride out in front, though, by Jai McNeil to get across, roll out of that straight the first time. Yeah, he got some nice cheap sectionals from the mile and a quarter to the 14, but he didn't back the tempo off. And then at the 1,000 metres, the plan was to break their hearts, pour on the tempo. It was outstanding to watch. The 8-year-old, he came in with better form. We gave him a push. He was the best-backed roughie on the coverage on the day, as I mentioned, on behalf of the Sportsbet family. I thought outside of that, the second horse was absolutely outstanding. He's an absolute beast in the yard. I can't wait to see him furnish in another 12 months and hopefully he comes back. I've got to say the rides on Sir Dragon A and also Russian Camelot were outstanding. Glenn Boss half missed the kick when zooming across to the fence and was able to sit two, three pairs closer. And Damien Oliver's ride in the first furlong and a half to get across one out, one back on Russian Camelot and produce him at the right time at the top of the straight was absolutely outstanding. And a special shout out to Michael D as well on Purse Anne, who decided to go back to the paint, ride for luck, poke up, and he just missed fourth by a bees and he ran it out really strong. So an outstanding race, but we always got a touch on it, and it was a very unfortunate incident with Anthony Van Dyke not being able to go home due to the horse suffering an injury. And on behalf of our team here, we send out our condolences to all the team, and in particular Aidan O'Brien, who's a huge supporter of our spring carnival. That was a shame.
Yeah, and I'll just quickly mention that. I think there's got to have to be some pretty big questions asked of Werribee. We had other horses go to Werribee and have obviously gone amiss as well this carnival. We've seen it before, Admire Rakti a couple of years ago. There's something going on at Werribee, I think, where they're actually working on. Racing Victoria, I think, holding the inquiry into it. Hopefully they get to the bottom of it and we can get somebody else. But I will also say Prince of Arran, who runs third, three Melbourne Cups for three placings. He is unbelievable and probably didn't have a lot of luck. Oof. Maybe Jamie probably didn't work out overly well for her, but he's just such an honest horse.
Bit of a tough one. Well, you wouldn't believe it. I only had one bet for the day. Twilight Payment on the nose in the cup.
Well, I wouldn't
all
believe it.
Right, fantastic. You're with me, so you know that one was a lie. But anyway, we'll let the past be the past and we'll jump over to the track report for this Saturday, Jules.
Yeah, really important here. Obviously, it's going to be the fourth day that we're going to be racing on this track. Now, we don't know what this track, this rail is going to be because Liam O'Keefe obviously wants to see what happens Oaks Day, but I have a feeling we'll probably be out 8 metres. I think we'll be on a good 4. I know Oaks Day, we're on a soft 5. Worth noting as well, 20 to 30 kilometre south easterly. So it's going to be a tailwind in that sweeping home turn. And if it becomes more of an easterly, it'll be a tailwind in the home straight. So they might be running some times. Let's just get up the 1,000 to 1,200 metres with the rail out 8 metres as we sort of predict it will be. Wind strike rate 34, 36, 30. So it's actually quite even across the board. It just starts to flow back to the inside. But again, this is the fourth day we're going to be racing. We saw on Derby Day that they wanted to get to the outside fence. Worth noting, why haven't they been to the outside fence on Cup Day and Oaks Day? Well, the reason was Liam O'Keefe decided to verti drain, so he's put holes in those last eight lanes or those final outside eight lanes, and that's why the jockeys have avoided that. That might swing back around on Stakes Day, so just keep an eye on that for those straight races. And then the 1,400 metre plus races, we call them the circle races. Again, leaders only at 13%. We know the Australian average is 21, but just even across the board, again, pretty well much a low percentage play back markers, but you want to be sort of forward midfield, I think, on Saturday. That's going to be your sweet spot. You can see there the ROI is in the positive forward midfield. So that's how we set it up for Saturday. But as always, the track has played outstandingly for the 3 days. I expect the track to play outstandingly for Stakes Day. To the VRC team led by Liam O'Keefe, congratulations. You've done a great job as always.
Now, you gave a brief mention before about a cup ride. There is no prizes for guessing who's the hot jockey at the moment.
Yeah, 9 from her last 47, going at around 19.5%. I talk about Jamie Carr. Look, we've spoke about it, as we say, we speak about it weekly, but she's put in a really good body of work probably the last 4 or 5 months, SD. She's going to have some really good rides again on Saturday. And I think she'll probably be a person that gets out early. She'll be forward midfield. A horse like Hacky, which has been ridden a little bit more conservative. We know it's got a big number at Flemington over this distance. Who'll be running in the Queen Elizabeth. I think she'll get these horses into, you know, a position where they can win. It's whether they're good enough.
Yeah, it's been good specking for Bolt Starter, under 7 furlongs in race 3. And Zatori's won his last 2. Can't believe he's $10 in the Group 1 sprint. Dallasan, we know she'll roll forward from that inside barrier. She's set and ready to go. And Plaquette is a very very well-supported horse early doors coming over from Sydney.
And that's the key. The Sydney form's really stacked up, hasn't it, come down to these 4 days and even during the Caulfield and Moonee Valley Carnival as well. So she's on some good horses, mate.
Well, jockey's no use without a trainer. Who have you got there?
Yeah, usually we've been going with the Chris Wallers, the Danny O'Briens. What I will say is Tony and Calvin McAvoy, 5 from their last 13, 38.5%. So not a big sample size, but it's positive signs for this camp. They are really just a boutique stable anyway. But they're starting to hit this carnival with real momentum. So, again, they're not going to have a lot of horses, but the horses that they're bringing to the races are being very, very competitive. And we can get them up here. Again, only 5 horses, SD, but if you look at their market prices, they're right in the game.
Victor Key was one of those horses too, winning on Derby Day, the filly. Deep Seed, this horse, very well found early doors, only lightly raced, winning partners in good form, 6.50, coming off a couple of back-to-back Country Cup wins in Adelaide. Hey Doc, comes off a Group 1 win, and he'll be tough to beat on speed down the straight. And Meteorite, geez, he's won on the good and he's won on the heavy as he did at Sale last start. He's well found in the market and he'll be strong to beat.
If you had to pick one McAvoy runner from that list right there to be your best bet across that, who are you taking?
I think Meteorite, I think, sets up really well. That's a really competitive race, but it's in rare form. I think, and the camp's just going really well. That's probably the one I want to be with.
Nothing wrong with the way winning partner's going about it. He's got and he sits up on speed too.
You know, I get fired up when you start getting into your best bets, SD. You've lined the pockets over the years. Well, anyway, we're going to cut to a break now. Group 1 racing at Flemington coming up next. Welcome back, punters. It's time to dive headfirst into some Group 1 racing at Flemington. Race 6, the Daly Sprint Classic. We've got Bivouac sitting up the top there. $3.90. Nature Strip, $4.20. Libertini, $7. Santa Ana Lane, are we going again at $9.50? Zutori, $10. Hey, Doc, $11. Tefane, $15. Best of the rest there, Graf at $16. Boys?
Yeah, well, so map's interesting because we know that they don't go as fast as if they were around the corner when they go up the straight here. So we expect Nature Strip to roll forward. Here's just Zutori winning the Gilguy Stakes. Now, this horse has just got an outstanding straight record. He won the Bobby Lewis the start before this one. Then he won the Gilguy. This one was a third of a second inside standard time where the Bobby Lewis was a really slowly run race. His record up the straight is just outstanding. He's now got to be able to get that to go to a Group 1 level, and that's the question for him.
So Kemal Passer comes out of that race and wins. Hey Doc comes out and wins the Group 1 at Manicato. And then you got Santa and Elaine run home strong, and Tefani went up for the Everest as well. So that's the form, one of the form races coming out of it, Julesy, but you're not tipping him?
Yeah, that's the thing. I just don't know if he's a Group 1 performer. I think that's his level. That's where he's going to be able to perform his best. Obviously, the straight track has to come into it. We know that when they've got a good straight record, they just always run really well. But can he win against the top brass ones? And I speak of the Nature Strip, who won this race last year. I speak of Santa Ana Lane, who's probably past his best, but did win this race 2 years ago. And I speak of my top selection, Bivouac, who hasn't won this race, but he did win the Newmarket. That was his peak figure. And that was an outstanding performance. Bossy was in the saddle for that. He stays on for this horse. Also, he ran second in a Coolmore behind Exceedance. That was up the straight as well. So his two best figures are up the straight. I just think the straight racing suits him really well. He doesn't like being out of his comfort zone early. When races are really busting up quick, first 500, 600, Bivouac can struggle. I will counter-argument with that. I thought he was outstanding in the Everest, where it was a fast-run race. 1.5 seconds inside standard time. Classic legend was outstanding, and Bivouac obviously finished off really well to finish second. I love the fact that he was $9 into $5, so the market thought he was going to be ultra-competitive. He was. I think he can win the new. He can win this year's VRC Classic. It's a tough race. Anytime Nature Strip is in the race, I'm always concerned, because sometimes you'll go around at $1.30 and now you're getting $4.20 about a horse on his best, will be winning. It's just whether you think he's going to do his best, and that's the trick with Nature Strip. I think he's better with a little bit of juice in the track. He might not get that on Saturday, but if we're on a soft five, soft six, Nature Strip would probably be the one. But I think we're going to be on a good four, and I'm going with Bivouac.
Yeah, Steve, you've got your eyes set on Libertini here.
Yeah, well, I'm looking for a fresh horse on the scene because they're so even, these horses, this year. Look, Nature Strip, he was voted Australia's best horse last season in a calendar year, but he's just had everything go wrong this time in, and his mojo's not there, so I'm happy to take him on. Bivouac, he ran his best race this time in, taking ground off Classique Legend last start. He's now got to come to Flemington and do it again, and he's a bit of a hit-and-miss type of horse for me, Julesy, at that price. But I can understand why you're picking him. Haydock's a horse they're going to find it very tough to run down. But it is Libertini for me, because she was third in the Coolmore here and she showed that she could go to the next level. And when she beat Classique Legend first up, she showed that accelerating turn of foot. She drew out in the Everest. She went back. Things didn't go quite right. She's the fresh horse on the scene. She gets a couple of kilos off the boys at this weight for age. And I'm happy to play her at the each-way price.
I'll tell you what, I love a roughie. Anything outside? We've seen Graff run a great race already this spring. Are we seeing any love there early?
He's a really interesting horse. I mean, 2 or 3 years ago, he actually ran favourite in the Everest. So he's got the ability. I think his performance over 1,000 metres at Caulfield was outstanding. If he can replicate that, he's going to be right in this race. It's just whether you can trust him to be able to do it second up, because in the past, he hasn't been able to put 2-3 runs together at his best. It's good enough.
It was a peekaboo ride by Damien Oliver in the Group 2 last start at Caulfield over the shorter trip, because he's only got a short sprint. He doesn't like getting to the front too soon. So he's a bit of a ghost type of bet for me. You never know whether the real Graff is going to stand up or not. And high pressure 6 furlongs might just drag that turn of foot out.
Well, after we've picked a winner there, we're going to move on to race 8, the big one, the McKinnon Stakes here. We'll check out the market. Arcadia Queen leading the way, $3.30. Melody Bell, $5. Mugatu, $5.50. 50 stars into $11 there. Mr. Quickie, $11. Dallas Sandwich, you spoke of earlier, SD, $14. Harlem, $16, making up the best of the field.
Yeah, so Matt, really important. And SD's obviously going to talk tactics later on in the show when we get to Marshall's Law. I'm thinking Shout the Bar rolls forward. That's its best chance. Dalasan has to go forward. Wouldn't be surprised to see Skyward go forward. Not a lot of speed in this race at all. I think Harlem can be in the first 4 or 5 if they want to be. Mr. Quickie, really interesting horse here, because he was very good when he was early in the Toorak, but then he went back and was disappointing. Here's the Cox Plate, because I think this is key factor. You've got Mugatu, who runs fourth, and behind him in the pink and white is Arcadia Queen, who's been well supported in early markets, $4 into $3.30, as Felix said. Here's Mugatu and Arcadia Queen, probably finishing pretty close together, especially through the line. Mugatu was $26 in this race, Arcadia Queen $7. So you can factor those in if you look at the SP profile out there, punters. Arcadia Queen didn't probably have the conditions to suit, didn't have a lot of luck, obviously was a soft track, so that brought Mugatu in. I think he's a superior soft tracker. Is that the race I want to be taking out of? Usually a Cox Plate going to McKinnon, and absolutely. They went 1 second inside standard time. That was a really tough race, also on a rain-affected track. And for that reason, I'm just thinking maybe one too many for Arcadia Queen. I think she's a real live chance, but I'm going around her, and I'm going around her with the New Zealand mare, Melody Bell. She ran second in this race last year off a 7-day backup after winning the Empire Row. So a little bit of a different prep. She's been to New Zealand. She comes out of winning 2 Group 1s, the 1,600 metres and the 2,000 metre race. She started $1.90 last start. She won by 2.5 lengths. And just about that was her peak performance on our database for New Zealand. That's a positive sign to now come into this race, I think, fifth up after a bit of a let up in Sydney, where she was just only average at best. I just reckon she might be just about ready to peak, whereas Arcadia Queen might have peaked. She's had a really tough spring.
I'm with Melody Bell.
Yeah, Arcadia Queen's drawn lower than Melody Bell, so I think she might come back and try and follow a horse like Melody Bell. Julesie, I love her program after she flopped in Sydney to go back to New Zealand and win the two Group 1s, which she did before she won on Derby Day and then backed up into the McKinnon. So she's in a great vein of form when she comes into this race fresh, and she loves this mile and a quarter, Melody Bell. I'm with you there, but the Battle of Tactics early doors was Shout the Bar going into it after she won the Empire Rose on Saturday Derby Day. She won the Vinery over a mile and a quarter, so she'll lead and roll along. I'll talk about that tactics more. Delasan's in good form. Forgive his Caulfield Cup run. He'll be freshened up. He'll be on speed if you like him. He's a great price around that $14. And Mugatu, well, geez, his run was too good to be true in the Cox Plate. He was three deep the entire, and he looked a winner on the point of the bend. He was the last horse travelling, so I wouldn't talk you out of having a bet there. But Melody Bell, fresh horse on the scene. Not too many 12-time Group 1 winners that are going around in this race, and she's one. She's a star.
Just a couple of other horses we should probably mention, because people will be going, oh, well, 50 stars. You know, he won the Australia Cup off the 7-day backup. So just for the punters out there, it's a little bit different to his setup in the autumn. With the Blamey Stakes, he was coming out of a moderately run race, 1,600 metres. 7 days later, went to the Australia Cup. 2,000 metres was the perfect setup. Last week, he was coming out of the Cantala. It was a really tough run race. It was 1.5 seconds inside standard time. So maybe did that take a little bit out of him extra than what would have happened in the autumn. So he needs to really lift to be able to win this. I think it's a different setup to what he saw in the Australia Cup off 7 days.
And wouldn't talk you out of having something in your same race, Moldy, on Harlem. His figures, two-time winner in the Australia Cup's outstanding. He was only 2.2 lengths off Very Elegant, and he had to carry 61 kilos there, and he's 2.6 lengths off Fierce Impact. That form's good enough for a horse that sits up on speed and gives you a run for your money.
Well, a couple of the big races so far. We've seen Johnny Get Angry, Come Home, Twilight Payment. If the punters do want to... I've already got Melody Bell on the bet slip after all that talk. If the punters do want to play a little bit outside, where are we looking?
For me, I actually just think there's only two horses I want to be with, and that's the two mares, Arcadia Queen and Melody Bell. I've marked them a little bit shorter than what the market has, and we'll obviously be able to go through that with punter education a little bit later, where I can identify my market versus the current market at the moment, and we'll try and give an edge to how I see the race panning out. But I'm with those two mares because I just think their best shows that it's too good for the others. The others all have to lift a little bit, and their best peak figures are just not where these mares are at.
We always love a Jared Ruffin in the race, and mine is Delasan with Jamie Carr back on to use that inside draw.
Beautiful stuff, SD. I'll tell you what, if you haven't jumped on the socials, I think it was on racing.com, the old quaddy talk. Beautiful stuff from you. The old entrance. Was that your best quaddy entrance? Was that on Get On, was it?
It was one of them, yeah. I love the quaddy, as you know. I get fizzed up and get frothed using one of Julesy's words. But, it was something special, just off the cuff.
Beautiful stuff. I'll tell you what, we're going to jump to a break right now. We'll see you in a couple of minutes. Hello and welcome back to Three Wide No Cover. A massive weekend of racing coming up at HQ. We've got a couple of Sydney siders coming down for the big event. And who better to speak to than Katie Mallion to get the word from up there. How are you doing, Katie?
Very good, Felix. How are you?
Good, good, good. Now, I'll tell you what, New South Wales, I couldn't get it done in Origin. Is there going to be any more success in Victoria this weekend?
Oh, there might just be. I see Mugatu has pushed on from the Cox Plate into the McKinnon, and look, he's a beautiful big striding horse, and I think he's going to really appreciate getting around the big Flemington track, and he looks like he's in really good form. He got caught wide and worked around him in the Cox Plate. I thought his run was full of merit, so he's got to be some sort of chance in the McKinnon Stakes over the 2,000. And then we've got in the Darley Sprint Classic at Nature Strip. He loves the straight. He loves Flemington. He won the race last year. Can he do it again? I just don't know if he's the right horse this year. He just doesn't seem like he's come back the old Nature Strip, but you can't rule him out because he's the best sprinter in the land on his day. So, look, he loves the straight. And Bivouac. Bivouac looks the class. He comes down after an amazing run in the Everest. He's won the Newmarket up the straight, and he's got Glenn Boss aboard him there. I think he's a perfect jockey for Bivouac. And Libertini. Well, Libertini, she won the Premier first up and went into the Everest looking like a really good chance. And look, she's had a tick over trial since then. Her run wasn't too bad in the Everest. She ran third in the Coolmore last year. So, look, she's been around Flemington before. She gets the straight. She's got to be a good chance. It's going to be a ripping race, the Darley Sprint.
Well, it is. And I'll tell you what, there is one runner coming up this weekend that has been a thorn in my side, Santa Ana Lane. Are we any chance here? Because I've been talked into backing it about 500 times over my punting career. Do we stand much chance this weekend?
Well, I thought his run wasn't too bad in the Everest, considering he got a little bit out of his ground. They did run along there. I thought his run was okay. You can't rule him out either. He's a very, very top-class sprinter, and he doesn't mind the travelling back and forward. That won't bother him at all. So if you think he can win, I'd put my money on him as well, Felix.
Well, I'll tell you what, you might have just talked me into there. Well, thank you, Katie, for giving us the lowdown in Sydney there. No luck in the Origin. Hopefully a bit better luck for the Sydney runners there. Thanks for being with us.
Perfect. Thank you. Look forward to next week.
Beautiful stuff there from Katie. I'll tell you what, boys, you can check my bet slip. I am back on Santa this week. But we'll jump over to the Chatham Stakes here. Back race three at Flemington as we continue the card. Morrissey, $3.80. Bold Star, $4.20. Sansom, $4.40. Morvada, $7. Harlech, $7. Reykjavik, $10. Riddle Me That, $15. Foxhall, $41. Harapour, $201. Now, there's some value, boys.
There's plenty of value there. Probably starts 1,000 to 1. We'll see how it happens there. Matt, very important here. I think Morrissey rolls forward. Sansom rolls forward. It led, obviously, at Moonee Valley when the track was lightning a couple of weeks ago. I think Morvada has to sit in the first three or four. Reykjavik, Harlech, they can probably sit in the first four or five. And then you've got a few horses that will be negative neutral. It's a really tricky race because you've got horses like Morrissey that have been going really well, but they've been up for a prolonged period of time. So it's just interesting because I couldn't find a real horse that I went, well, this has clearly been a target and this is a set race. So I ended up settling on Bold Star. Now, I know this horse, probably a risk at 1,400 metres, probably best over 1,100, 1,200 metres. But I just thought maybe if Morrissey and Sansom could find their positions early, then they might back off the speed. Now, if they back off the speed and this horse has cover and can be sitting within three or four lengths of those leaders, I think he's got the best turn of foot. He comes out of a race behind Camel Passer where it was up the straight. He was $10 into $8.50. There was good support for him. It was a very slowly run race, which we do see up these straight plenty of times. But their last 400, last 200 was just about the best of the day. I think it was the best of the day, coming home somewhere close to 11.42 last 200. And I just thought this race shape set up. Now, if this is a very fast, genuinely run race, then I don't think Bold Star can be playing in it. But I think just that might be moderate that I'm thinking Bold Star can win the race. Quick 7-day backup, backed up three times, a first and a second out of those quick 7-day backups. So I think that suits this horse as well. I just reckon getting to 1,400 metres is very good for this horse.
Do you?
Yes.
Do you, Jules?
You clearly disagree.
Picking up what you're putting down there. And I love his form, Zaturi, Pippi, Dirty Work, Camel Passer. Look, he's just had one go 1,300 metres above 6 furlongs. He ran second on that occasion, so it's a big test and it can be a test at Flemington over the 14. So that's the only reason I took a set up against Bold Star, but I understand what you're saying. It's a small select field. I went through this field and I went, who's a genuine 1,400 metre horse that's in cracking form and I can trust? And it's the favourite, Morrissey. I thought he was terrific last start behind Wild Rain. And here he is, Wild Rain to his left of screen, picks him up and beats him. Now, that's Moldova, who led on this occasion. He meets him better at the weights for leading and just capitulating being beaten 2.7 lengths. But look at him, Morrissey, fight, dig, kick. Wild Rain was super strong there on Derby Day, I think it was, when he won. And you know what Morrissey's done? He's been to Flemington, he's won over the 7 furlongs, and he gets to sit up on speed here and follow a horse like Sansom once again and Moldova. Sansom brings a passable form. He won 370 ESP, winning first up. But there's a question mark over him. He's got beat 2 lengths by Hairborne at Flemington over 7 furlongs, but they've always kept him to 1,200. And I think this is, okay, it's a Group 3, 14. Let's try it again sort of scenario for Sansom. So you're always looking for a negative. Why not to back the favourite? I can't find a negative for Morrissey. He's in great form. Team Corsons have got him flying with some beach work and the farm that they use there. Good luck to Shane and Beck Morrissey. I think he can win.
Good stuff, boys. Let's jump forward, fast forward here. Jumping up the distance, race five, Queen Elizabeth Stakes here. Pondus, top of the market, nice price, $2.80. Ledion Divi, $4.20. Shared Ambition, $8. True Self, $9. Chapada, $9.50. Hacky, $6. Future Score, $18. Gaelic Chieftain, $21. Credence, $23. Rounding out the market here, Attorney 21, Scarlet Dream 21. Are your best chances?
No speed in this race at all, Felix. And I think this is a really important signal to what's going to win this race, because I think Pondus is probably the best horse in the race. That performance in the Bendigo Cup, where it was 1 second inside standard time, was outstanding. The problem is, I've got it mapping all the way back. I went through all its European form, and it just doesn't have the ability to settle in the first four or five. Lavdon de Ville will go forward. True Self will go forward. And outside of that, maybe Credence, possibly Lunar Flare, maybe, but not really. There's just no speed in this race whatsoever. So if that's a sit sprint affair, then I want to be with horses that are possibly on speed. I get that Pondus, look, trained by Joseph O'Brien, he just comes out, wins the Melbourne Cup, international trained horse. So market's going to be with him. I can understand why punters are going to trend towards Pondus. Absolutely understand that. I'm just, from a map perspective, I thought True Self might sit outside Lavdon de Ville. And if that's the case, I think True Self can win this race. Now, she won this race last year. Now, she's going much better last year, but I don't know if she's going poorly. And the reason why I don't know if she's going poorly is she's just not a wet tracker. She just does not go through the wet ground. So the fact her effort in the Caulfield Cup was plain, if not worse than plain, really average, is just rule a line through it. Her best figures are on dry tracks. She came out of winning, running second in a Geelong Cup last year to winning this race last year. And I just think back to the dry conditions, that $9.50 that you can get about True Self's a great price. I marked her $6.50. If we can get a dry track, no speed in the race, she can sit outside leader, and I think she'll give a real good turn of foot off this dry track. True Self for me in a really tricky race. I think there's plenty of chances. Pondus gets his chance. Hackey could ever get back to that 2,600 metre form showed in the autumn, and then he might be a real player as well with Jamie Carr in the saddle, but I've gone with True Self.
If you don't know, well, you'll know after the race there, Julesy, that is for sure, about True Self. It's a bit of a guessing game outside of the top two in the market for mine. I thought Lavdon de Ville was absolutely outstanding in a Geelong Cup. We know Ash Run's come out and won the Hotham from there on Derby Day. The form's going to stand up out of that race. And it was a building tempo from the 800 when they got to the top of the hill there. Looks too good to be true, no speed, but there's a stack of stays here that are just absolute dead set whackers, and they'll need to build and roll, and there'll be a bit of pressure, I think, from the 1,000 metres. They will have learnt something from Melbourne Cup Day and the ride by Jai McNeil. You can't sit and sprint on a number of these runners, so look for it to build and there'll be a rush of blood, I think, at the 1,000 metre mark for them to try and outstay one another. Lavdon de Ville will be one of those. Lavdon de Ville will be one of those horses. Slow down. Pondus, though, I want to have a look at his replay. Come on, bring it up. Good Lord, going out of the straight the first time. He was three deep, no cover. Horse broke down in front of him. He got swooshed off. He got dragged back to last. Horse didn't drag him into the race into the brown and light cream colours, checkered colours midfield there. And then he had to go around the whole field here. Have a look at him late. Princess Jenny's no slouch. She goes real good. I loved his gallop out there. It's a good clean-up for a horse that can sit back off him. Beat Nicker Jack Cave, who was a spruik horse there for Peter Moody going into a Melbourne Cup, and he was second to Adayab. Adayab, who we saw in Melbourne, is an absolute star, beating Very Elegant. So Pondus, Pondus on the way up. He'll sit back, watch it all unfold and have the last crack at him. I think he's the best horse in the race, so I'm happy to play him.
Well, we've spoken at the top of the market, but 2020, it does 2020 things. Is there anything outside? I know the prices are pretty even throughout. Your best roughie in this one?
Oh, Hackey for me. I think it's that $15, $16 mark. If he can get back to that performance he showed earlier in the year, 2,600 metres, where he beat horses like Vow and Declare and those kinds of horses, on speed, fast run race, he's right in it. And I thought his performance in that Bendigo Cup was pretty good. I think he runs third or fourth in that race. It was an outstanding race in terms of rating. I like that race compared to the Geelong Cup, which Lavdon de Ville comes out of. Yeah, Hackey at the price, I think's a bet.
Lacked class in a Caulfield Cup, did Chapada. But he's Herbert Power win before that. He's in a really good vein of form and he loves Flemington. So Chapada's the best roughie for mine.
Good stuff, boys. Maybe one for your same race multis. Anyway, race 7, the Matriarch Stakes, coming up next. Chaliot, $4.20 up the top. Vanagirl, $6.50. Toffee Tongue, $7.50. She's Ideal, $8.50. Parody, $10. Graceful Glamour, $12. A Fair to Remember, $12. Princess Jenny, $14. In Good Health, $16. This is a fantastic field, fellas. Bonavinci, $19. One more try, 23 rounds out the runners there. Danza Dance also at $61.
Yeah, again, not a lot of speed on paper. Now, it might play out very differently, but Graceful Glamour will go forward in good health. Now, they're horses that do actually like to bowl along. It's not when they get there they like to just put the brakes on. So maybe there'll be enough speed in the race with those two horses rolling forward. Nerve Not Verve can go forward. I think Aristia with the blinkers first time will probably want to settle in the first four or five. This is, as you said, it's a really competitive and it's a good race for the mares here. Group 2 over 2,000 metres. Plenty of chances and plenty of horses that obviously have had their grand final and now they're just trying to get another win out of the way. And I speak of horses probably like Toffee Tongue and Bonfaccini and those kinds of horses have been around a little bit. You want to try and find a horse that maybe this has been the target, and it's hard to identify that. But I just thought Vanna Girl's performance, look, it wasn't great behind Shout the Bar, but that was a performance where they've gone inside standard by about 1 second. And I just loved her through the line. I loved her last 200 and then through the line as we look past the post, 100, 200 metres past the post. I thought she was just a horse looking for 2,000 metres. We know in the winter up in Brisbane on dry tracks at Eagle Farm, she was doing some blistering things. She won the Roses. A Group 2 was a $2.15 favourite. Smacked the clock. If she can get back to that form, I think she can be very competitive in this. Big track, Flemington. Dry track, yes. Outstanding gait. They might be able to settle in the first five or six. I know she does like to get back in her races. Bowman on. Yeah, I think it sets up really well for Vanna Girl. First time on 7 day backup, but I'm with her.
Yep, she's won over 1,800 metres at group level in the Brisbane Winter Carnival. She looked like she wanted 2,000. She hit that flat spot and she was going to creep out of the back of the screen and then she was strong late. She needs the right run in transit because she's going to hit that flat spot. So I'm taking a set against her. Toffee Tongue's got to carry a little bit of weight coming back from a Caulfield Cup. Wouldn't talk you out of that. Graceful Glamour's the key. She's going to roll forward on a dry track. She'll be suited to that. I thought Shayu, she had a chance last start and she peaked at the mile when she was heavily backed. And she's into $4.20 early doors here Thursday when we record three wide, Felix. But I'm concerned at the mile and a quarter that she's not quite up to that with her turn of foot. She was just labouring on the line over the mile last start. In good health is the one that I want to be on here. Beat the boys twice before finishing 1.6 lengths off Order of the Garter. And that's really good form for me. Only 1.5 length off of Herbert Power. That's really good form. She drops to 56.5 against some of these mares that get the penalty, the set weights and penalties. And she's going to be strong at the mile and a quarter. She's going to sit up on speed, Luke Curry, Peter Moody, bowl along all day. Beautiful. I love the value of In Good Health. And you got to think I'm mad. Yeah, and you're not on your own there. Don't worry about that.
No, you just need this to...
But Dance. If you go back and watch her replay, it's not in the stewards' report. When she jumped, she got her foot tangled with the other runner on the inside barrier and she was lucky to nearly fall. She said she didn't fall. She finally got it out. She missed it by about 5 lengths last. Watch her last furlong at Moonee Valley there, Dance. She's a Group 1 winner when she's right. Second run for Dean Bernays. She's a smoky for my same race multi. Get up at $61, please, first four.
That's actually good intel in terms of talking about a horse and a lot of punters probably just look at the last 200 or 300 metres, so that's good that you've identified with them that she probably, her race was over before it just about begun.
Was.
She 5 runs ago, she ran third in the Queen of the Turf. You know,
Conti Pittore and also Funstaff, they were in this race. What price would they be?
Well, they'd be shorter than the price she is, absolutely. So I can agree with that. Graceful Glamour back to a good track. I think that's a positive sign for him. She might be really hard to run down. She just does not go on soft track, so you can forget what happened at Moonee Valley. Back to a dry track, I think she'll run well for you. For those that like to look at profiles of races, the last four winners have all carried 55 kilos, have not been able to have the penalty. So sometimes races do profile for certain race horses, but 5 years ago, Lucia Valentina carried the full penny, 59.5 kilos to win the race. If you're a good mare, you can still carry the penalty and win the race.
Beautiful stuff, boys. That's why you watch Three Wide No Cover. Coming up next, martial law and punter education. Stay tuned.
Yeah, they're going to strap themselves in for the McKinnon Stakes over a mile and a quarter at Group 1 level, wait for age. Welcome back to Three Wide No Cover, where we talk tactics for the feature race, the McKinnon Stakes, on the last day of the carnival. Horse I want to highlight in this race is a horse called Dallasan. Now, Dallasan, I want to take you back to two starts back. We know he flopped in a Caulfield Cup where he was caught wide and he was dragged back, but look at him here. Jump out, sit up on speed and use his low gait. And he only got beat 0.3 of a length, I think, when they crossed the wire in this Turnbull Stakes by Very Elegant, as we know, who went on to win a Caulfield Cup. So a really hot form race this is, the Turnbull. But look at his gate speed. Get his motors up and his engines up early doors, and then he relaxes nicely in the bridle and holds a spot. We're expecting Shout the Bar to come across, Harlem to come across, but here's Dalasane, box seating, showing speed in the Turnbull Stakes, looking to get out onto the back of the two leaders there, and he ends up shooting to the right of screen. We know Very Elegant screams down to the middle of the track and puts her hand up there to win the race, but Dalasane, he was really tough and hard, Toffee Tongue to the right of him. Those two take those tight runs, and he really digs and fights over that mile and a quarter here, Dalasane. He's had enough time to freshen up from a Caulfield Cup. He's going to get a surface that really suits him, and his figures at Flemington will suggest that he could come back and run a peak race once again. Wasn't much between them there, was it? And I like the way he toughed it out there. So expect Dalasane to jump and roll forward. Shout the Bar, she comes off winning that Group 1 on Derby Day. She won the Vinery. That's a mile and a quarter. So she's going to be nice and strong early doors. But I'm thinking it's going to be controlled tempo from there. Skywood could jump and try and be as close as he can because he'll be left a little flat-footed, dropping back in distance. Harlem can jump. You shoot the Bar, and these two will take up the lead early doors. We just highlighted Dalasane. He's fresh. He'll roll forward. Then it's a really intriguing battle of tactics for mine. Because Mirage Dancer, I'm expecting to go back. Melody Bell could come up and sit outside the likes of a Dalasane if he's box seating her once again. I think Arcadia Queen will go back and be happy to follow the likes of Melody Bell. 50 Stars will pop back. Or could he roll forward and ask the question to try and fit in that first pair or second pair? Mugatu from the Cox Plate goes back and missed the quickie when he won the two rack. And he drew low, he jumped and he used and he was close enough. So there'll be a nice little battle that first two furlongs, but then they'll be set. Shout the Bar, will control things on speed. Harlem will be nice and strong and Dalasane are the key runners. But I think Melody Bell, a one out, one back or two pairs back type of scenario, just might get the run of the race here. Let's have a look at the pointers now for this McKinnon Stakes this year. Controlled speed, early doors. They won't overdo it and they'll lock and load. So get your rhythm right mid-race, jockeys, in this Wait for Age race and understand how the speed, how they're clicking off the furlong poles, what times they're going, because then you've got to be ready for the dash if it is controlled and they're only going steady. And you've got to be ready for the dash. That means riding, well, I think your percentages, 3 and 4 deep from the 650 as you approach that top of the straight at Flemington and get yourself into some winding rhythm. Fantastic race at McKinnon Stakes there this year, Felix. Can't wait to see the battle of tactics unfold.
Good stuff, SD. 3 votes, S. Marshall, as usual. Now, it's a tough act to follow, but I reckon we jump over to some punter education with the main man, Julian Valance.
Thanks, Felix. OK, so we're going to look into the McKinnon Stakes, obviously punter education. We've done some different things over the carnival. We're just going to get up my market to how I priced the McKinnon Stakes for this year. Obviously, I'm working to a 100% market. We've got the current market at the moment around 115%. That'll get closer to around 110% before these barriers open on Saturday. And here you can just see the price discrepancies and see where I'll probably be playing, because that's where I see a little bit of an edge or an angle. Harlem, I've marked this horse $41. Now, we know this horse goes very well at Flemington, 2,000 metres. Yes, he's won an Australian Cup. But the current market of $16, I've marked him $41. I just think he's going to struggle. 50 Stars, quick 7-day backup, won the Australian Cup on a backup in the autumn. But coming out of a fast run race, very different to what he did in the autumn when he was coming off the Blamey Stakes, where he's coming off a softly, moderately run race. A little bit different. I've marked him $12. Current market, $10. Don't see an edge there. Mr. Quickie, he just doesn't put a couple together. So I'm a bit worried about Mr. Quickie. I'm much bigger than what the market is, so I'll be taking a set against him. In particular, also Mirage Dancer. I think this horse is better over 2,400 metres and obviously with a bit of cut in the ground. So again, I'll be against him. Mugatu's an interesting horse because the market's really identified him at $5.50. He did run fourth in the Cox Plate, but I think he was on a soft track that suited him. I think he has to get to a dry track here. I've marked him $10. If he wins, I'll be losing on the race. Skywood, I'm much bigger. Dalasane, the same, I'm much bigger. And then we get to Melody Bell. And here's the horse that I've identified on my ratings with my pricing at $3.20. The current market at $5, I'll be betting into that space with Melody Bell. I think she now is 2,000 metres. She gets her chance. The other horse I've marked just about the same is Arcadia Queen. They're both $3.20. They're the two that I'll be playing and winning on. Obviously, the market's identified Arcadia Queen early doors. Hopefully, she might get a little bit soft later in the as we get closer to the jump, and then I can back Arcadia Queen as well. But off my prices and ratings, I'm going to be with Melody Bell. I think there's a distinct edge for me. If those two mares can win, I'll be winning. Anything else wins, I'll be losing.
So Harlem's going to be the one to avoid here, boys?
That's for me. I think there's a few of those horses that run really well at Flemington and those kinds of things like Mugger 2, but I'm just taking a set against them. Obviously, they can come out and win. I'll be wrong. Plenty of people will have a different opinion than that, but that's why we have a marketplace and that's why we can all participate in it.
SD, still nice and bullish on Dullasan, even after the market prices?
I think he'll look the winner for the run that he's going to get in transit, but if I was 22 kilos lighter, Felix, I'd be jumping on Melody Bell. I think you can trust her. She's a 12-time Group 1 winner. She follows the same path as she did last year when she won the McKinnon by winning the two Group 1s in New Zealand. She's ready to rock and roll.
Beautiful stuff, boys. We'll jump over to a break now, but it's the Wolf of Wally Street coming up next. Welcome back, everyone. You see Wolf of Wally Street there, but I'll tell you what, Felix is in the hot seat today, so we're going to call it around the grounds. And Vegas has been cancelled with the travel restrictions, so where do we head first? Where better but Morfordville. What do you got for us, Jules?
Very similar to Vegas, absolutely. Race 3, number 2, Deep Force, third up here, so I think it's going to be its peak run. I know there's the topping in the race that's a short price favourite, but I think we could just about beat this horse. Wouldn't be surprised to see these tighten up in the market, get a little bit closer. I think Deep Force, ready to peak, third up. Yeah, I like it. It's a good chance.
Didn't really like the card much at all at Morfordville, but I've plucked one out. Race 8, number 11, Short Stories. This 3-year-old gelding's having his first start. He's trained and owned by Will Clarkin. He's kicking him off in a benchmark 58. Not a maiden for the first time, but it's a very weak maiden. I didn't mind the horse's trial. He's very raw and new. He won that, looking around a little bit. But I just think the trainer, part owner, will have this horse right to win first up Short Stories.
Now, your all-expenses-paid ticket, once you're done in Morfordville, enjoying the sun and seeing the sights, you're off to Doomben.
Yeah, race 7, number 5, Desert Law. This horse, outstanding first up, and then second up, got beaten, but still its rating was very, very good. It continues to improve. I love the fact that it's got some time off. So it's had about a month off between runs. I think its best runs are always when it's fresh. Obviously, we spoke about its first up run. It was a high-rating race, and now it's got that 35-day break. I think it's ready to explode again. 1,400 metres, I think, somewhere around then. I think it suits up for this, sits up for this race. Desert Lord for me, race 7, number 5.
Race 4, number 9, really discreet, starts off for the first time for Tony Golan up there in Queensland at Doomben. So this horse, remember, won at Murray Bridge and also Morfordville, the 13, the 1,400 metre gallops there. And then was tested to Wild Vixen at listed level and ran really strong, just 0.7 of a length, just missed on that occasion in a really, really good form race. Soft track suits. Two soft trials going into this really suit. This horse trial with blinkers on last trial went absolutely humming and the blinkers go on race day. Race 4, number 9, really discreet.
A few things get me as excited when I look at the rundown, whether it be insider trading, 3 wide, no cover, and the experts are picking the same horse. As we move off to Rose Hill now, you guys got a double.
Well, that could be, hopefully we get something out of it then. Race 8, number 11, Promotions. Now, punters need to be aware here. It's going to be extremely wet up in Sydney again. I think they've got up to 30, 40 mils expected either Thursday or Thursday night and Friday. So I had to get a look for a wet trackers and found a horse, in race 8 called 11 Promotions. January and February, two soft track runs. Kembla Grange won its maiden very impressively, then went to Warwick Farm and again on a really wet track, put up a really good rating. Coming out of a great ranking race from Kensington last start, I just thought this horse sets up really well. And there's a couple of horses it's meeting that might not... We've got the fitness edge over it, I thought, and especially on a wet track, I think that'll be important, especially race 8 later in the day.
Started 270 favourite, got beat, but the first horse and the third horse have both come out and won out of that race too. And beat a horse called Chat over 1,400 metres in a Canberra Guineas, who was fourth in a Golden Eagle. That's really good form. I'm with your Promotions, Julesy.
Well, fire up the minivan. We're going across the Nullarbor. What have we got at Ascot?
Yeah, I just want to start with race 1, number 1, Clairvoyant. So it's not going to be a bet because it's going to be extremely short, but it's the horse that's right in the picture for the winter bottom. So hopefully it can come out and win by 5 or 6 lengths, and it's going to be a major player in the winter bottom. It's an outstanding horse, Clairvoyant. Can't wait to see it come across to the eastern states. We've spoken about this horse a little bit previously. Race 6, number 13, Invictus Domini. It's won 3 in a row. Now, they've been at Geraldton, but $1.45, $1.35, absolutely smacked the clock and big, big winning margins. Got to take it to town now. but I think it can. Invictus Domini, race 6, number 13.
Tell me right now, Jules, right there, Morfordville Deep Force. What's your best bet right there, Jules, if you had to pick one out of those?
It's a good question. I'd say Promotions on the wet track.
Really, really discreet. Invictus Domini, did it go out fast and come home fast?
Yeah, absolutely. We like that when they do that.
It's a good thing then. Yeah.
Beautiful stuff, boys. We'll tell you what, we're off to the break. Quaddy coming up next. Welcome back, everyone. And you know what they say about big Saturdays, ST? Big quaddies.
That's right. Yeah. It's 4 years for the quaddy. Let's have a look, shall we? Race 6 kicks it off. It's the Daly Sprint. We're whacking in Nature Strip, bivouac. And we're also going to whack in Libertini. Can't leave out Haydock, Jules.
Yeah, I think Haydock could be the one where we get a little bit of value out of this race. He can be on speed. He might be hard to run down.
2, 3, 4, and 9 in the first leg there. Lock that in, punters. And now we go to the Matriarch, race 7. 2, Toffee Tongue, Vanna Girl, the 3, 4, Graceful Glamour, 7, In Good Health, and 13, Shayu. Just in case she runs that mile and a quarter out strong. Race 8 is the second of the group ones, the McKinnon one. Harlem goes in. Melody Bell, number 8 and 9. Arcadia Queen, have we left anything out?
Yeah, we probably left a few out that a lot of other punters will have. A lot of punters will probably put 50 stars. They'll probably put Mugger 2 in. But just where we sit in terms of our mark and where they think they'll go, we're happy with those horses, I reckon.
He's a hunker, burn and love, Julesy. And race 9 is the last leg of the quad. He is Express Pass, the 3. We want to throw in Meteorite, the 11, the favourite. Plaquette will go into 15. And also, if they get runs, we're going to include in our quaddy 17, the Gouch, and 18, Rock Profit. How about that? What does all that mean? Cue the graphic for the quaddy. There you go. There's our numbers right through there. 17 and 18, because they're emergencies for $100. 33.3%. You know what that means? Cyril Rioli. Big shout out. He's a big fan of the show.
He is.
Beautiful stuff, boys. I reckon everyone's buying what you're selling. Now, all good things must come to an end, and I've loved my time on the show. Is there any chance that I'm able to snake my way into next week?
You know how Wally loves taking over the graphics and all that sort of stuff now? Felix is thrown in his own graphic to want to host next week. Here it is.
Oh! Wow, there you go.
Cue the graphic.
Maybe Wally's in a bit of trouble. Geez,
Felix, there you go.
He's in a bit of trouble. He said you're not getting back on the horse.
But we'll chickadee check the votes. There'll be another count on the votes.
That'll be all false. We'll get that court injunction for that or something, won't they?
We'll see you in the Supreme Court on that
one.
Well done, Felix.
Yeah, Thank you, boys.
Thank you, boys. Some good tips all weekend. Now, punters, hopefully you have a massive Saturday. Plenty of good tips coming around. Gamble responsibly.